This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
When you factor in 40 million people out of work and an economy that's waiting to get back and firing on all cylinders again, I think that makes a difference. Let's talk to Stephen Moore about it. He's the chief economist at the Heritage Foundation. You can check out his book, Trumponomics: Inside the America First Plan to Revive Our Economy. Stephen, we need to revive our economy, and I wonder what your thoughts are on the way the economic crisis that we're facing right now is factoring in the national unrest that we're seeing.
Hi, Annie. Good to be with you. And boy, I'm just so sorrowful for what's happening in our country right now. I think everyone is. And I had predicted, by the way, a couple of weeks ago, I think maybe even on your show, that if we continued to keep the economy locked down, that there would be rioting in the streets and inner cities. And this was just the match that lit the fire. I mean, cities were tinderboxes. We know this from history that anytime you can't keep 18 to 35 year olds, locked up in their houses or in their apartments with no job and no income, and expect that things are going to be just fine. And so this was very predictable. I call it the lockdown. These are not racial riots. This is the lockdown riots. This is a repercussion of horrible, horrible decisions we've made in states and in cities to keep our people imprisoned and to destroy our businesses. And, it's just so awful. And, the other thing is I was doing some research this morning, and it's so obvious and not even controversial that the people who are going to be hurt the most by these riots and the destruction are the very people who live in these cities, mostly minorities. And I was looking at data from what happened after the 1960s riots, when we had a series of racial riots back in the civil rights era. And there was a huge amount of reductions in property values in those cities and huge increases in unemployment. So I hope that doesn't happen again. I hope we're not hurting the very the people in the inner cities that need the help. But we gotta get this economy up and running. We've got to do it quickly. If there's anything good that comes out of this, it doesn't sound like the stay-at-home orders are going to be observed anymore in these cities, and get people back on the job, get businesses running. And if we do that, I think we can get out of this, because people want to go back on the job. They want to earn income. They want to have a paycheck. They want to be productive.
I completely agree with you. We're speaking with Stephen Moore, the chief economist at the Heritage Foundation. We've seen what the House has put forward and passed, the solutions, massive spending, a pet project for everybody who a Democrat has ever met, it seems like. That's not going to go anywhere in the Senate. What's actually... I'm sure there's the Stephen Moore dream plan, but what is actually doable, passable in the Senate, in the House, and signable by this president that can help the people who are reeling from this economic crisis in the midst of the rest of the crises that we're having to deal with right now?
So I have a piece in today's Wall Street Journal, and I hope you'll post it on your website. It's basically about the massive growth of government this year, and it's a scary piece. You think that these riots are scary, and they are. Look at our budget situation now. I estimate that if we were to pass anything like the Pelosi bill, which was $3 trillion on top of the $2 trillion we've already spent in Washington and the $4.7 trillion that was already in the budget, and then the $2 trillion that the states and cities spend, we will have for the first time in American history, never before has this happened, our government sector will be larger than our entire private sector. So government spending will be 52% of our GDP. I mean, if that doesn't frighten you folks, I mean, I don't think that Bernie Sanders in his wildest dreams as an avowed socialist ever thought that would happen. Even at the height of World War II, governments, when we were fighting the Nazis and the Japanese in an all-out war effort, our government spending only hit about 48% of GDP. We could hit 52% of GDP. So we have to stop the spending right now. No more government spending. We cannot bankrupt our country. My dream, if I could be the king for the day, I would suspend the payroll tax for every worker in America and every employer in America so that they have an incentive to hire more workers, and we get incentivize those people who are rioting to get out and get a job and have a paycheck. That's the solution to this, is paychecks.
Stephen Moore, just a little bright point today. You know, it's hard to find them right now, so I figured let's focus on it if there is one.
Yeah, right.
I woke up this morning and saw that the Dow and the markets were up, surprisingly. I couldn't believe it. Does that say to you that there's an investor class in this country that is betting on the return of our economy?
Yes. You know, and I was struck by the same thing. You know, and I haven't checked the Dow in the last hour or two, but it was up this morning, not hugely, but it was up. And I thought it might be down 500 points given the destruction of what's happened in our cities. But I think that's the, you know, I like to look at the Dow as a stock market. It's just an indicator of where things are headed, because it's people putting their money where their mouth is. And people are betting on America. So that's a good thing. And you're right. That is the light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, if we can get people back to work and going to their job rather than taking to the streets, and if we can get a payroll tax cut so we actually put some more money into people's paychecks, I mean, wouldn't that be great? All of us would get a 7.5% increase in our paycheck immediately with the payroll tax cut. Can you explain to me why Nancy Pelosi is against that?
No, I cannot.
I mean, I can explain to you, because she wants to have the politicians spend the money, and you and I want to say, give the money to the workers, put it right out on Main Street, all across America. You know, you put that additional money into the paychecks of the workers and more money into the small businesses, they can hire workers again. But I'm not so sure Pelosi wants that.
Yeah. Stephen Moore, chief economist at Heritage, on the phone with us. And Stephen, you mentioned Main Street. I we're in St. Louis, of course. That's where Ferguson is. Ferguson in 2014, that was kind of the center of the news verse for a good few months there, and we all know what happened. In a place like Ferguson that we've seen, I've actually driven through Ferguson quite a few times just to see the progress over the last few years, and it's really bounced back from all the rioting that happened in the central part of that city. But now we're seeing riots happen there again. I see over the weekend that businesses that have tried to pop up out of the ashes, so to speak, of those riots have now had storefronts broken, glass broken, and things like that. What's the psyche that goes on? Even if it's not huge financial loss, there has to be a sort of psychology to the economy of these places that riots are happening. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it is. First of all, I mean, why in the world are the police not arresting these people? And these aren't protesters. They're criminals. They're criminals, right? They're thieves. And these are little, and I can't speak for Ferguson. I've never been there, but I do know inner cities. I grew up in Chicago and I live in Washington, D.C. Most of those stores that are getting robbed are minority businesses. Like, a lot of them are immigrant businesses, and they're just stealing from them. It is so sad to see. So I'm glad to hear you say that Ferguson had made a comeback. Can it make a comeback again? That's the question. Yeah. How many times will these businessmen and women come back to these places if they keep getting burned down? So I hope it does make a comeback, because, you know, the people are really the innocent victims of this are the small business owners, the people who do want to work, and people who have there's no question that the minorities in these cities have very legitimate grievances. But how is burning down a store or looting a store, how is that solving the problem?
Yeah, that's why I continue to ask the question if the people who are actually taking those actions are as invested in solving a different problem. I wonder how many different groups are involved. You know the problem
that they're trying to solve, right? This is all about making sure that Donald Trump is not reelected president. And they're creating chaos. Not most of these people, but some of them. What? I mean, this is a coordinated chaos that's being created.
I've been waiting to hear the president speak, and you know, I put it out on Twitter, which is where, you know, I think that if two ships were going to pass in the night, maybe he'd see my tweet and take some action. But he hasn't really listened to my Twitter yet. Where is he? Why is he not out there?
Good question. You know, and I love this president. I work for him, but I think he should have given a speech on Saturday or Sunday night, and it's now Monday. He needs to address the nation. You're right, Annie, and he needs to basically try to bring some justice, and they should have a task force investigating these police departments. Why is there so much racism? And by the way, one reason is because the unions won't allow. I was talking to a police chief, said we can't get rid of the bad police officers because of the union rules. Did you know that?
No,
yeah,
that's terrible.
The union rules prevent them from getting rid of the bad policemen, some of whom are racist. But I agree with you. Donald Trump, if you're listening to this show, please address the nation. Bring some calm out of this chaos. And he's good. If he gives a State of the Union speech about the state of affairs here and calm people down, I think it would be a tremendous thing.
Don't you think, no matter what he says, I mean, there's going to be a portion of people who are going to react to him even showing his face and speaking, and then they're going to blame him for destruction. But they're doing that anyway. So be a leader. Step up to a podium somewhere and say something. You think he's being advised maybe just in two different ways and he hasn't made the decision yet? Or I just don't understand that.
I don't know. I'm really mystified by it. Mr. President, you need to address the American people. And I think he's getting bad advice if he's being told not to do that. And I think we should be very, very firm with these criminals. But it should also be a speech about bringing America together.
Well, we're going to take a break and come back to this White House press briefing that's taking place right now and see what Kayleigh McEnany has to say. And in the meantime, we're going to check out that article in the Wall Street Journal from you, Stephen Moore. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you on here, and we look forward to talking to you again
soon.
Thanks,
Anne. By the way, that speech has to be a prime time address, for the whole
captivating
nation. Okay.
Yep.
Take care.
Yep, you as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.